بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسول الكريم اما بعد so alhamdulillah we're going to go through the life of a blessed companion just to again like the Quran mentions Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions we have in surah Hud alayhi salatu wa salam is we have revealed to you of the messengers alayhi salatu wa salam to strengthen your heart So one of the great effects of going through the lives of the pious is that it has an effect upon the heart. It strengthens one's iman. So the companion's life we're going to go through radiyallahu anhu is Hazrat Abu Sufyan ibn Harb radiyallahu anhu. Now it's very important to mention his father's name because there's a few Abu Sufyans radiyallahu anhu. So for instance, there's Abu Sufyan ibn al-Harith radiyallahu anhu. And Abu Sufyan ibn al-Harith, not to be confused, the one that we're going through today, he was the cousin of the Prophet ﷺ. Al-Harith was the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ, and Abu Sufyan was his son. But that's another companion. So Abu Sufyan ibn Harb radiyallahu anhu. First and foremost, Hazrat Abu Sufyan ibn Harb radiyallahu anhu was the chief of the powerful Banu Umayyah from amongst the Quraysh. This blessed tribe was second only to the Banu Hashim. With regards to distinction and honor amongst the noble Quraysh. Umayyah and Hashim were brothers from which the respected tribes emanated. Hazrat Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu's grandfather was Umayyah, his father of course being Harb. Hence the Hashimites and Umayyads were cousins for their lineage joined only a few generations back. Now this is important to point out, the reason being because there was a lot of turmoil after the Khilafah al-Rashidi. The Umayyads got into power. So the Umayyads is referring to this, the branch, the cousins of the Hashimites. Thus, Hazrat Abu Sufyan ibn Harb radiallahu anhu was a cousin of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we know this thing straight away. It was around the 50th year of his blessed life that Hazrat Abu Sufyan ibn Harb radiallahu anhu witnessed the advent of Islam. So obviously his youth has gone. The chiefs of the Quraysh now suddenly turned upon the one they called Al-Amin, the truthful, the trustworthy. Abu Lahab, Abu Jahl, Uqba, Umayyah, Walid ibn Mughira, and the other powerful chieftains now became deadly against the Holy Prophet and began to oppose him tooth and nail. Now what's interesting about these chiefs, most if not all died in Kufr. So if you look at these names, Abu Lahab, the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ, died in Kufr. Abu Jahl, Uqba, Umayyah, Walid ibn Mughira. So that's an interesting point to point out. And this shows the arrogance is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates. However, the case of Hazrat Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu was different. Though he now had also opposed the Holy Prophet ﷺ's message, he still did no harm to him. Hazrat Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu had a great regard and reverence for the Holy Prophet ﷺ. And even before he radiallahu anhu had embraced Islam, he had never once called him a liar. That's fascinating. How many times the other enemy chiefs blurted out, he's a liar, he's a poet, he's this and that. But Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu never called the Prophet a liar. In a narration, in Tabarani Ibn Asakir Kanzul Umal, volume 7, page 94, Al-Haythami in Majma al-Zawaid, volume 6, page 20, states, all the narrators are authentic, except Humayd ibn Munhib, whom I don't recognize. Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 1, page 81 of the old English translation. As in Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, the illustrious son of Abu Sufyan ibn Harb radiallahu anhu, he relates, once my father, Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, went to his agricultural field, riding a horse with his wife, my mother, Hind radiallahu anha. I, however, was riding ahead of them. In other words, Muawiyah radiallahu anha was riding on a separate mule or horse. At that time, I was still a boy, and I was riding my ass. Then suddenly we heard the voice of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On seeing him, Abu Sufyan radiallahu anha ordered me, oh Muawiyah radiallahu anha, get down. And let Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ride this ass. Hence I radiallahu anhu got down and let the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ride the ass, who then proceeded to ride ahead of us. So the scene is now the Muawiyah is walking radiallahu anhu, and Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu and Hind radiallahu anhu were on the horse behind, and the Prophet was ahead with on the ass. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then remained ahead of us for some distance, but then he suddenly turned towards us and he said, O Abu Sufyan ibn Harb radiallahu anhu, O Hind bint Utbah radiallahu anhu, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will certainly die and then will certainly be raised up again. Then the one who is righteous will enter paradise, whilst the one who is wicked will enter the hellfire. I inform you of the truth, and verily indeed you are the first people in a group whom I have warned. So this is a status for them. You are the first people as a group whom I sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have warned. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then recited the following verses of the Quran. So this is Surah 61 verses 1 to 11. So I'll give you the translation. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام ميم. The revelation of the scripture in which there is no doubt is from the Lord of the worlds. Or do they say he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has invented it? Nay, but it is the very truth from your Lord, that you may warn a people to whom no warner came before you sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that happily they may walk on the straight path. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is who created the heavens and the earth and that which is between them in six periods of time. Then he arose the throne. You have not besides him a protecting friend or mediator. Will you then not reflect? He directs the command from the heaven unto the earth. Then it ascends unto him in a day, which is like 1,000 years of your reckoning. Such is the knower of the invisible and the visible, the mighty, the merciful, who made all good things which he subhanahu wa ta'ala created. And he began the creation of man from clay. Then he made his seed from a draught of despised fluid. Then he fashioned him and breathed into him his spirit, and appointed for you hearing and sight and hearts, little thanks that you give. And they also say, when we are lost in the earth, how can we then be recreated? Nay, verily they are unbelievers in the meeting with their Lord. Say to them, the angel of death who has charged concerning you will gather you all, and then unto your Lord is the return. This is not Surah 61, this is Surah Sajdah, verses 1 to 11. Hearing these verses, Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu asked, have you finished, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes. Then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam descended from the ass, and I Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu rode on the ass once more. Later, Hind radiallahu anhu said to her husband Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, did you ask my son to get down from his ass only for the sake of this magician? Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu thereupon said in anger, silence Hind radiallahu anhu, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is neither a magician nor is he a liar. So why did I mention this report? Because he kept negating this when people saying he was a liar, because he's not a liar, he's not a magician. And what's fascinating is, why did Hind say this radiallahu anhu? Because the Quran, they considered to be magic. They realized it wasn't human speech. That's why they had to give it another title. They go, this is, you know, for that magician, you got my son down. Because he's not a magician, he's not a liar. And again, note how the blessed family of Hazrat Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu also have the distinction of being the first group to have been warned by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And again, this is an honor for them, subhanallah. And that's why Muawiyah narrated this radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu also had a great love and reference for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, immediate family. It has been recorded in the books of history that once Abu Jahl, the accursed, had slapped Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's beloved daughter, which caused her to weep bitterly. And just to mention something about Abu Jahl, even in today's day and age, the kuffar, this saying, they still act upon this, because we will not strike a woman. And they consider this to be a noble thing, because we will never strike a woman. So Abu Jahl, even in that blessed time, he was constantly seen striking women. So for instance, here's Fatima radiallahu anha, only a child at the time. And then you've got the other incident where he martyred Sumayya radiallahu anha, when he thrust the spear into her private parts. And then you've got another incident where Asma radiallahu anha, she was Abu Bakr's daughter radiallahu anha. And this is the narration. This is in Ibn Hisham in his seerah. Abu Bakr radiallahu anha was with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the cave. And he had taken with him all the money, all the wealth he had, to give to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Asma radiallahu anha, she was with her grandfather Abu Qahafa radiallahu anha, and she realized, and he was blind. So what she did was, she knew that her grandfather was going to ask about money. So Abu Qahafa came into the dwelling and he goes, has my son left you anything? So what she did was, she got a cloth and she put some pebbles in the cloth, and she made her blind grandfather feel the pebbles very quickly. And then he said, oh, he's left you something. So Asma radiallahu anha, you know, she was very noble. But what happened was, when the Abu Bakr had migrated radiallahu anha, Abu Jahl came to the dwelling with some of his henchmen. And he saw Asma radiallahu anha. He goes, where's your father, Abu Bakr radiallahu anha? So she, obviously, to protect him, she goes, I don't know. And Abu Jahl slapped her. So what you learn from these incidents is that he was a man of extremely base character, that he would strike women, even children. So here, going back to Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha's report, Hazrat Fatima wept. When the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was informed about this, he told her to go to Abu Sufyan ibn Harb. He was a kafir at the time radiallahu anha, and inform him, tell him about the incident. Hazrat Abu Sufyan radiallahu anha, who was angered upon hearing the news from his young cousin radiallahu anha, he thereupon went with Fatima radiallahu anha to Abu Jahl. On arrival, Hazrat Abu Sufyan radiallahu anha asked Fatima radiallahu anha to take vengeance and slap him in turn. Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha accordingly gave a good slap to Abu Jahl, who could say nothing, right? Who could say nothing before Abu Sufyan radiallahu anha. When the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard about this event, he was very much pleased. Hence, at once he sallallahu alaihi wasallam raised his blessed hands and he prayed, "Oh my Lord, subhanahu wa taala, have mercy upon Abu Sufyan ibn Harb radiallahu anhu and reward him for his good gesture." This du'a indeed was soon to be answered. Another example of not only Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu but Hinz radiallahu anhu's love for the daughters of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam can vividly be seen from the following blessed narration. So this is another daughter now of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called Zainab radiallahu anhu. And what happened was, Zainab was migrating from Makkah to Al-Madinah and she was heavily pregnant at the time. This is in Ibn Hisham, it is Sira, Ibn Ishaq, Ibn Kathir, Sira, volume 2, page 347-8 of the English translation. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he relates, I was told that Zainab radiallahu anhu, the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, had said, while I was getting things ready to migrate, Hind bin Utbah radiallahu anhu met me. And she said, O daughter of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam radiallahu anhu, have I not heard that you are planning to join your father? Is it not true? And she said, it wasn't my idea, and I said this to allay her possible suspicions. She then commented, well, my cousin, don't do this, for you are now not in a state to migrate. But if you must, and you need anything to take on the trip, or money to reach your father, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I can provide it. Don't be reluctant or embarrassed with me, for women don't let such matters come between them as men do. And look what Zainab said, radiallahu anha. I really thought she would do as she had said, but nevertheless I was afraid of her and I still denied I had any such plans. Ibn Ishaq related further, rahmatullah alayh, so she continued making plans, and when she was ready, her husband's brother, Kinana ibn al-Rabi, brought a camel which she then mounted, and he, taking his bow and quiver, led her away. She was riding in a howdah and it was daytime. Some of the Quraysh men, on observing the scene, discussed this and followed after her, catching up with her at Zutua. The first man to reach her was Habbar ibn al-Aswad ibn al-Muttalib ibn Asad ibn Abdul Uzza al-Firi. He scared her radiallahu anhu with his spear as she was there in the howdah, and because, as they claim, she was pregnant at the time, she suffered a miscarriage. Her brother-in-law then knelt down and took the arrows from his quiver, saying, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if any man comes near me, I'll put an arrow into him. The men then drew away from him. Then Abu Sufyan ibn Harb radiallahu anhu, on hearing about the sad turn of events, he arrived with some other Quraysh leaders and said, put down your arrows, because we only want to talk with you. He did so, and Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu drew near and he said, O Kinana ibn al-Rabi, you have not done a good thing, for you have come forth with a woman openly going over people's heads, even though you are aware of the injury and damage done to us by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now what he meant by this was that this was after the glorious Battle of Badr, where many of the arrogant Quraysh chieftains had met their miserable ends. So Abu Sufyan then said, radiallahu anhu, when you now take away his daughter radiallahu anhu openly and regardless of anyone else, the people naturally thought this was due to humiliation we have recently undergone, and that this now reflected our weakness and incapacity. I swear we don't want to keep her from her father sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we're not after revenge in this way. But you'd now better return to Makkah with this woman radiallahu anha until the talk dies down and everyone says we have brought her back. Then you can secretly take her back to her father sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And thus we did. So what you learn from this report is first Hind radiallahu anha. It shows that they had great love for the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She said that you can go openly, but tell us, inform us of this. And also Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, at the end of the narration, he goes, the only reason that they did what they did was because this was like a humiliating sign for them that you were going openly after their fathers had been killed in Badr. It has also been reported that Hind radiallahu anhu had spoken the following verse, criticizing those who brought Zainab back to Makkah. Ibn Ishaq ibn Kathir, Sirah volume 2, page 438. So this was verse, but it doesn't rhyme in English. In peacetime, they're wild young asses, fearless and violent. But in war, they're like women having periods. So Hind radiallahu anhu was extremely upset that she had a miscarriage and she blamed the men. She goes, in the battle of Badr, you were like women. And now with one man and one woman, you're acting like brave, courageous fighters. And again, the scholars point out, such was Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu's blessed family members concern for his enemies. So in other words, it shows how strange the situation was. And again, subhanAllah, that's why the battle of Badr is a unique battle. Because family fought family. In normal situation, a battle takes place when you don't know you don't have any relationships with the enemy. So again, this is why another reason why the battle of Badr is unique. So is there any questions on that? So all we went through there was the opening start point with regards to Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu's blessed life. And straight away you notice an interesting thing about his blessed personality. It was something was in his heart, but he was fighting this. But again, we'll go through it slowly for the next few days, inshallah. Any questions? Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun alal mursalin, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, wal asr innal insana lafi khusr illa alladhina amanu wa amilus salihat, wa tawasaw bil haqq, wa tawasaw bis sabr, sadaqallahu alazim.